Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. We hear again the opening verses of this passage. Jesus asks, "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" Just about everyone knows this type of disappointment. Someone promises you something, and then they don't deliver. If you've been disappointed enough, you don't even let yourself get your hopes up anymore. There are a lot of people who know what they ought to do and even promise to do it. Far fewer who actually follow through. The simple story Jesus told the ruling priests and elders brings this idea to light. One son says no to his father, but changes his mind and goes to work. The other says yes, but never gets around to working. Who does the will of his father? Of course, the one who changed his mind and worked. And in the text, Jesus moves right from the story to its application. He told the religious people of his day that tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of them because those quote-unquote sinful folks heard John the Baptist preaching and it changed their minds. But it didn't change the minds of the priests. It didn't change the minds of the Pharisees. It didn't change the minds of those who believed that their religiousness made changing their minds unnecessary. Not only did it not change their minds, but they were enraged by the very suggestion that their minds needed changing. So how does this simple story apply to you? Well, listen, I'm willing to bet that you have sensed God's claim on your life. You felt called to do something for him. And then done nothing. You may even have a pretty detailed understanding of what the Father's will is, but it hasn't moved you to action. I look in the mirror, I see myself in that very description. But then, there are times when you have decided to go and make a difference. And you have. You've chosen to set other things aside and do something for God, and it felt really good. Like you were finally doing what you were designed for. The two sons that Jesus talks about, they both live inside of each one of us. It's the tension that the Apostle Paul was talking about when he wrote, the Apostle, "I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, that I keep on doing." He writes that in Romans 7. So is there any way to resolve that tension? Well, let's go back to the story. By telling a story about these two sons, Jesus is making a distinction between two types of people. The distinction is, one changes his mind, changes direction, and takes action. The other knows the right thing to say, but doesn't change direction. He doesn't go anywhere or take any action. And so the action or lack of action depends on whether your mind has changed or not. In other words, Jesus is saying this. If you believe that your status before God is a matter of your being a good religious person who has done many good deeds as proof, and you see no need to change, you are actually behind those people who have lived terrible lives and are sick of it and have heard the message of repentance leading to the forgiveness of sins, and they believe it. Strange as it sounds, they are in a better place spiritually, Jesus says. Why is that? Because they are done with themselves and are totally depending on God's mercy. The ruling priest seemed to have slowly forgotten that dependence. And they had returned to looking at themselves, looking at their own resume, which made them unwilling to accept John the Baptist and Jesus' teaching. So here's the crucial question. Why? Why should a person repent and have the change of mind and direction that we're talking about? What's the big deal? I think that it's at least partially this. God knows us, and He knows we need this. He knows we need this shift from reliance on self to reliance on Him. He knows that when I put my trust in self, it's pretty much a disaster. I either become a proud little brat, convinced of my own holiness, or I get so deflated by my own failures that I just stop trying. Our Lord knows I need to take the focus off my striving and put the focus on Jesus striving to pay off the steep and awful debt of my sin. He knows that you and I need to practice this movement of where my real trust lies day after day after day. That's why you and I need to hear the Word of God and the call to repentance and the announcement of our sins forgiven through Jesus, His death on the cross, and His rising. That's why we need to remember our baptism as often as we can. That's why we need to taste the bread and the wine in which the body and blood of Jesus cleanses us and feeds us. This is a lifelong process, learning and relearning dependence on God. And it's the best thing you could possibly be involved in for the sake of your mental and emotional and spiritual and, yes, even your physical health. And when you put your full trust and your life dependence squarely on Jesus, a funny thing happens. You can do the vineyard work. You can do the kingdom work for the right reasons. You can go and work in your Father's vineyard without any sense of, look at me, without any idea of padding my resume so I look good. You're faithfully serving Jesus because you're thankful. That's it. It's a beautiful thing. One group that has led the way in faithful service for many, many years is the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. This group of women provide and support the work of gospel ministry at home and around the world. And by their gathering of loose change and other offerings through the famous Mite Box, Here's just a short list. They've committed to fund projects for our own ministry in mission in Haiti. That's at the national level, at the district level. They're a major donor to those studying to become pastors. Our own local expression of LWML does amazing projects that result in things like Kirsten Zimmerman being able to travel in El Salvador. And that's just their fundraising efforts. They also provide solid devotional material, retreats and Bible studies for women. And they do all of this as their thank you letter to Father, Son, and Spirit. Their pledge, which we will all speak today, begins with the words, "In fervent gratitude for the Savior's dying love." That's the right focus for our lives. In fervent gratitude for the Savior's dying love. Why should a person have the change of mind Jesus was talking about? Because it brings you back to Him. And we are at our best when we are back with Him. Let's pray. Holy Father, we pray this day that through your word and your sacrament, we would be led to a genuine change of mind and heart that admits our sins before you, seeks your forgiveness, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, looks to go in a brand new direction in the way that you have given us in your word. We cannot do this at all without you. So, Lord, fill us, guide us, and lead us so that we may be your people who live our lives as our thank you letter to you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.